Welcome back to the In the Blues Tone podcast. My name's Shane. It's August the 1st of 2024. Thank you everyone for your comments on the last podcast. It had been so long since I did one. I was kind of feeling a bit bummed about the scope of YouTube, and I was also pretty bummed that I was just feeling like a lack of inspiration across the board, and I've got out of my slump. I'm trying new things. I've got a brand new series coming up as of next weekend, so probably not this weekend coming up, but the one after. And I'm going to take you on a little bit of an adventure, so stay tuned for that. I'm also going to continue to try new things on the channel. I know not all of it will be for everybody, but the entire channel's not changing or anything like that. Some people are complaining about the reaction videos and breakdown videos. They're leading into something, so hang in there. I'm actually going to do some lessons based on some stuff I find in the moment, and this is what it's all about. I want to share some guitar tricks with you, especially when it comes to blues. I've been playing blues for so long that everyone keeps asking for lessons, and just filming a lesson about licks in the room's kind of boring. I actually want to help you and encourage you to get out and play live, because that's what it's all about. And if I can help you run through some standards or show you my inspiration when it comes to what I like to listen to, that'd be a whole lot more fun and hopefully more rewarding for folks who enjoy it. So yeah, hang in there. I'm not going to do too many more actors when it comes to, you know, doing the reaction videos. The next few will be breakdowns and showing you chord progressions and little ideas to get you through if you're thinking about going out to the blues jams. A lot of these ideas are pretty universal, whether you're playing at a blues jam in Melbourne, Australia, Austin, Texas, Chicago, wherever. I've done all three of those. So all of these concepts will work, and it's just a fun thing to do to mix up the channel. Now, when it comes to this new series, I don't know exactly what the end result of it will be, but I've had this idea for a long time. And if it goes over okay, then I'm going to try a bigger scale version of it at some point. So stay tuned for that. And then all the other YouTubers can copy it. But it's a bit of an original idea. I don't think anyone else does it. But like I said in my last video, I've sort of let go of a lot of the channels I used to watch. There's only maybe 7 or 8 that I still follow now. And they're kind of fun to watch, and they have live streams, all that kind of thing. So I'm still part of the guitar community as a whole, but I've just sort of tuned out to the bigger picture, and I think it's just better for my productivity as well. So I'm pumping through the videos. We've got plenty of guitar, pedal, and I'm going to do some amplify videos coming up as well. I've also got something in the background that is in the planning stage. I don't really want to give that away just yet, but it might be really cool. And if it is really cool, I'll update you when the day comes. So or you'll see a video pop up. Probably by the next time I do a podcast, you'll know more about it. But anyway, we wanted to talk a little bit today about the Fender Tonemaster 59 Basement. This is Fender's latest Tonemaster amplifier, which is a digital modeling amplifier. And this comes in at $1,500 plus tax. I'm really shocked at the price of this. Now, as of right now, I don't actually have a price in Australia for this one. It's not listed on any websites that I've been able to find so far. Odds are it'll show up, but you can do the conversion. Usually if you do the conversion plus 10 or 15%, that'll be the price in Australia. So it is what it is. Now, this is starting to get pushed up to prices that don't make a lot of sense for a digital modeling amplifier. And it got me thinking about what the main topic of this particular podcast will be. I'm going to talk about the death of solid state amplifiers. First up though, we're going to talk about this Basement. And the Basement's an iconic amplifier. And if you've been waiting for a day for a light version of a Fender Basement, then you're going to love this. It's one of those amps, once you turn up, it sounds like magic. Now, this isn't to belittle the Tonemaster amplifiers. They're actually a whole lot of fun, but I just feel like for $1,500 for a digital modeling amp, it's quite expensive. And I'm going to show you an alternative here. Check out the Kempers on Sweetwater. And this isn't sponsored by Sweetwater. I'm using this as a reference because a lot of the audience is in the US. You can buy a Kemper exactly the same as the one I've got behind me right here for $1,398. It's a very different thing, but I'm just using this as a point of comparison. So you can get something that can pretty much mimic every guitar amplifier. You can plug it into your audio interface or into a separate speaker cab, and you're laughing. This is the price of an actual Basement. So as you can see, $2,099. So it is more expensive by $600. Let's talk about some of the positives when it comes to the Fender Tonemaster series as a whole and this 59 Basement. So one of the great benefits of it is they're a whole lot lighter. I can pick up the Deluxe Reverb basically with one finger, which is fantastic. So that's really cool. And this one being that it's a 4x10-inch speaker combo, much like my backbreaking PV back here, it's actually going to be far lighter and you can move this around no problems at all. So that's really cool. And I love the fact that you don't have to be going deaf to get the tone of this amplifier at its sweet spot, thanks to the power attenuation on the back. So as you can see here, I think it says 0.5 watts, 1 watt, 5 watts, 12, 22, and 45. So this is great. If you're doing a small club, you can switch it down to 22 and you'll be in business. If you want to play at home, drop it down 5 watts or anywhere below and you've got a great sound at a lower volume. So that's awesome. You can see that there's basically like a voicing switch on the back that goes from tight to vintage. This will no doubt change the bass response on the cab or the emulated bass response. And it will also give you three different cab sims looking at this as well, which is awesome. Now this level on the back looks like it's to do with the line out. So if you're going into a mixer, PA system, or directly into an audio interface, there it is right there. I also love the fact now they've put the USB port on the back rather than that sort of mysterious spot under the head on the twin. That was always, I was like, where is this thing? You sort of had to flip the amp over. Now it's nice and easy to find, which is awesome. There's also an effects loop on the back. So this is, I think this is one of the smartest moves Fender could have made. Having an effects loop on a vintage amp like this is great. And having it on the back is pretty cool too. I think it doesn't take away necessarily from the aesthetic. There's also one other thing I really like about this, and that is the reverb control. We get a reverb control on a bassman, which are inherently a reverb-free solution. So this is great. I think this is going to appeal to a lot of people, and I would love to test how the bright and normal channels jump when you actually use a patch cable. I would love to see what you can get out of it. So for those who don't know, you obviously have your normal and bright channel here. You can also connect both and then get more gain out of the amplifier. So this is really interesting. While I'm not a big fan of digital modeling amps when it comes to playing live, some people can get away with it. I'm not sure I can, but I think for the right kind of audience, this is great. But again, this is $1,500 for a digital modeling amplifier. It's starting to creep up to the point where I don't think this makes a whole lot of sense. And I'm going to talk a little bit about why I think solid state amplifiers should make a resurgence. Let's get stuck into this particular section of the podcast talking about solid state amps and also versus digital modeling amps. So we've seen the price of the Fender ToneMaster over here, $1,500. Fair enough. It is what it is. Someone will be jumping on that, I'm sure. No questions about it. We take a look at the Jazz Chorus over here. We've got a 120 watt stereo combo amp, which is solid state. So this isn't a tube amp. And it's $1,279.99. We also have the JC40 Jazz Chorus over here from Roland at $699. Now, I've used the Jazz Chorus 40 live when I was playing in San Francisco, and that amplifier is great. It fills most rooms. And solid-state amplifiers, if they're built correctly, and if they use quality speakers, quality components, they sound every bit as good as a valve amp in a room. They're different. A lot of people seem to assume, or they make the assumption, that all solid-state amps are crap. The reason why is the quality fell. Back from the 80s to the 90s to the 2000s, the quality has gotten worse and worse. And you can see this across basically every amp manufacturer, maybe with the exception of Roland. Take a look at some of the old PV Bandits, for example. Some of these go back to the early 80s, and they're still going strong in 2024, and they're $249. Now, if you don't play live, you might not realize just how great a PV Bandit is. These things can fill any room you play in. They're so loud, you get an epic clean tone. And sure, the drive channel might not be for everybody, and they've been sort of revoiced over the years. But these amps were so good, and my favorite one is this one, this Red Stripe Bandit over here. I mean, these are so great. They've got the sort of like tubes feel to them. So as you turn them up, you can get them to break up on the clean channel. And they've got a really remarkable vintage drive channel, and if you're a blues player or if you like to even rock, they've got a really decent high gain channel as well. But the cool thing about these is the whole idea with solid state amps was, oh, we can get a better sound at a lower volume and they're more cost effective. This has been kind of like lost over the years when it comes to solid state amps. The trajectory went all downhill, again, with the exception of a few brands, and now they've been relegated to like the junk amplifier, and it's a real shame. And I don't necessarily think digital modeling amplifiers or recreations of classic amps digitally is the way forward, especially for people just getting into it. Like every time I plug into a PV Bandit, it makes me smile. I get a great tone. I can use all of my pedals, and it doesn't matter if I'm playing into the Bandit or if I'm plugged into my Blues Deluxe or any other amp on the clean channel, it's still going to give me an excellent sound. And this isn't the case with a lot of digital modeling amplifiers. You know, we go to a jam every week, and the guy who runs the jam, Tony, has a katana, and nearly every time someone plugs into it, they're fiddling around trying to get it to work. Now, a good player can get a great sound out of anything, and that's still true, but it takes more finessing than just plugging into a PV Bandit. I played with my friend Brian a few weeks ago, and he had the Bandit I sold him for $100 a while ago, and it's a Silverstripe one. The thing sounded unbelievable. He had the clean channel cranking, he replaced the speaker with something a bit more efficient, and it's just an unreal sound. Like, I was looking at him like, what amp is that? We were both on stage. I think I had my artist Tweed Tone, and he had his PV Bandit. I'm thinking, is that his Fuchs? It's the Silverstripe PV Bandit. And it's like 30-something years old. Let me ask you this question. If you're watching the live stream, if I premiere this, I'll put a poll up on the side. Can you see a day where a Marshall code is going to last you 30 years? Or any other digital modeling amp that's current? The Katana is built really well for a digital modeling amplifier, and for its price, it's good value. But some of these other ones, man, I just don't understand how they're going to survive long term. This is where solid state amplifiers were supposed to fit. They were the affordable option that was still built great. And I'm not saying that all digital modeling amps are built terribly, because someone will say that in the comment section. What I am saying, though, is do you think this Fender Tone Master amplifier or any of the other ones will be around in 30 years? And what will be the case if something needs to be replaced? And this is the biggest difference between a solid state amplifier and a digital modeling amplifier. Much like tube amps or hand wired versions of those amps or anything, parts can be replaced a lot easier. And if you watch those tech YouTube channels, they're great. They break all that stuff down. I watch a handful of those, and they're a good fun. I don't know enough about that side of it, but I do know if a CPU fails in 30 years, 20 years, or 10 years, where are you going to get another one, right? And this is the whole sort of like disposable attitude when it comes to gear. I just love the fact that these Jazz Chorus amps have proved themselves time and time again. And if you're in the market for something used, these old solid state amplifiers are still hard to beat. If you're someone who's sitting in a room or listening to another guitarist play, and this might only be something the guitar players think about, but I think about this. If you hear a digital modeling amplifier, something that has a million different effects, maybe an LCD screen built into it, one of those kind of digital modeling amps, they sound either really thin, they just don't have enough sort of thick tone to cut the mix, or enough headroom. If you run pedals into them, they don't sound very good. Solid state amplifiers pretty much sorted this out years ago. Like, this PV Bandit is something I could gig with now and get the sound that's familiar to me every single time. And I did so many gigs with mine over the years that I'm kind of looking for another one. But the point of the story is they were made to a price, but they were also really robust, but still very functional. Solid state amplifiers also sound excellent at low volumes. This was one of the huge benefits of them. You could have them at a bedroom volume on the clean channel and still get a really nice clean sound, whereas on a valve or tube amp, you'd have to crank them up to get the sound that was very nice. So there's so many advantages to solid state amplifiers, at least when it's the good ones. Now let's talk about my opinion on what killed the solid state amplifier. So as they progressively got made worse and worse and cheaper and cheaper, and people were trying to cut costs at companies, the first thing that they pulled out that should have never have happened was the speaker. The speaker is the deal maker or breaker in most of these amplifiers. And this is why a lot of the Fender Tone Master amps actually sound great to your ear. It's the fact they use quality speakers. They've got Jensens. They've got all the speakers that you would find, you know, in their more expensive tube alternatives. And PV were using some of the best speakers around. But then there was a range of like almost junk solid state amplifiers, and this continued to happen. Take a look at the digital modeling amplifiers right now versus even 10 years ago. I would almost argue that the digital modeling amps are on the same trajectory. They're getting made cheaper and cheaper, again, with a few exceptions aside, and the quality is just not there. And just giving someone more options doesn't mean it's going to be a better amplifier. And I'm talking mostly now about something with like an LCD screen. So if we go back and we take a look at the Fender Mustang 3 version 2 or the Fender Mustang 4 version 2, those things could keep up with any amp in a room. They were so good. They were almost too good. And that's why, you know, again, Fender released the GT series after that, or the GTX series, and they were very inferior compared to the prior series. Maybe it was to not cannibalize part of their, you know, higher range amplifiers. Maybe they thought they were sounding a little too good or a little too close. Or maybe they just want to save a buck and they got them made at a cheaper place and The parts suffered. The speakers suffered. They always sounded a little bit out of phase to my ear. You could get some pretty nice clean tones out of those amps, but they definitely didn't have the same sort of oomph as the Fender Mustang 3 version 2. I would argue that's maybe the best modeling amplifier of all time for its price. And then they made a cheaper, more inferior version of it. So this is the trajectory of a lot of these digital modeling amplifiers. I don't see them keeping the quality high long term. And we've already started to see a lot of junk digital modeling amplifiers on the market. Solid state amplifiers need to come back. Someone has to make an alternative to the Roland Blues Cube or the Roland Jazz Chorus and give us something like what Peavey were making, but make it more affordable. Not everybody wants a million different effects. Not everyone wants option paralysis. Give us an amp we can use in a room that's still really light. It doesn't cost $1,000 US. So again, buying used here definitely makes way more sense than buying new, especially if you aspire to go out and play live. Just because something's got a million different options in it doesn't necessarily make it better. One of the questions I always see come in is, should I buy a Roland Blues Cube or should I get this or that around the same price? And I always tell people the same thing. These are great amps. I've used them. I think they sound really good, but they don't sound any better than a PV Bandit. They just don't. And this is the thing. You can buy one of these for next to nothing used. And while I've raved about these PV Bandits, they're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they're very usable in a range of different situations. And if you aspire to play live, these are great amps. And these also fell victim to the getting made cheaper and cheaper thing. I think after the Red Stripe Bandit, the later series just weren't as reliable. You know, these Red Stripe ones are back from the early 2000s, late 90s, I'm pretty sure. Some were made in the US, some were made in China, depending on your region. And these are still going strong today. And these other ones that were on the page are even older. So they're bulletproof. They made them really well, and you can buy them for an absolute steal. So consider getting a tried and tested, reliable, solid state amplifier if you're in the market for a digital modeling amp. You get a real spring reverb and a sound that will fill a room. And if that's important to you, these are still a really great choice. And that wraps up another In The Blues Tone podcast. Thank you so much for listening and watching. I really appreciate it. If you're watching it on YouTube, leave a thumbs up. It really helps the channel and it's free. So that would be awesome. And a massive thanks to all the Patreon subs, channel members, and everyone who supports by leaving a comment, all that kind of stuff. I really appreciate it. I'm just wrapped to be back doing what I do on YouTube and having more fun. And again, while all the new content might not be for everybody, I'm doing it for not only my own sanity, but just to mix things up and to give the channel a little bit of a kick. For those wondering about Guitar Search Saturdays, I still have one in editing, so hang in there. But I've got about 15 things I need to film that I borrowed from Sky Music, so none of those videos will be sponsored. They just lent me a whole bunch of stuff. And one of which will be one of the best guitars I've played all year, and it's affordable. So I'm going to start doing a bit more of the affordable gear again coming up, and just picking and choosing some old classic pedals from the store as well, stuff that I know people will be interested in long term, and I might not have reviewed for 13 or 14 years. So yeah, stay tuned. I got a whole lot of different stuff coming up. Thanks again for watching and listening. And if you're into iTunes or any sort of podcasting software, you can find the In The Blues Tone podcast on there as well. Thanks again for watching, and I will catch you very soon. See ya.